Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Steve-O. I have been informed that I only have 30 seconds to talk to you about Friday Night Fanfiction. So here we go. Friday Night Fanfiction is the terrible drunken fanfic reading podcast you've been waiting for. Every week, we read terribly written fanfiction and turn it into a drinking game. We bring guests on every week. We take suggestions for fanfics to read. So come join David, Logan, Sean, Val, and myself Wednesdays broadcasting and Fridays posting Friday Night Fanfiction only on the Nerdy Show Network.
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny.
Drag is the new spandex.
Hey everyone, welcome to Flame On Sister Podcast, Drag is the New Spandex. I'm your host, Oral, but you knew that, of course, and if you didn't, welcome. It's spelled the way it sounds. I'm here with Brian.
Hi.
I'm Ryan.
Hey there.
And our illustrious producer and bon vivant, a man who does everything, a jack of all trades, and master of every technical know-how, Pat.
Hi.
And we are here to talk about All-Star Season 3, also known as The Claws Come Out During the Day and the Night. So let's start off with looks. Actually, let's start off with who is here.
Well, before we even get into the workroom, they did a fun little introduction this year.
That's right. That's
which,
right.
Which leaked about a week before the show premiered, which gave a taste of All-Stars OG winner Chad Michaels and All-Stars 2 winner, the Queen of Snakes herself, Alaska Thunderfuck.
Ooh.
In a very handmaid's, I could never say, I always want to put the S in the wrong place, Handmaid's Tale chic. Very blessed be, very long robes.
Okay, the blessed be is like their own affectation because they don't say blessed be.
Well, you know, I hear that and I just think charmed. So
yeah, right, that's what I thought. Whatever. It's a very like, but no. So The Handmaid's Tale, if you've not seen it, go on to Hulu. Just look for the trailer. It's the red robes and the nun kind of looking hood thing.
It's habits. What's happening to women habits. Right now.
It's what exactly. It's Trump's America. So they leaked it or it leaked? Which
no, they released
it. They released it. Okay.
I mean, it was part of like EW gets all these things. It's just
okay.
There's a bunch of stuff. The first 14 minutes was out on the was released before the season started. So they gave you all the looks and the chattiness without having to spoil the big reveal,
yes,
which we'll get to in a minute. So then we enter the workroom.
Yep. And first up we have Trixie rollerblading in.
Yes.
Looking like, you know, Barbie's, you know, still reclaiming Barbie as Stacy's mom. That's what she was giving me. Barbie as Stacy's mom. I love the like the oversized headsets like we are using now. I love the hair and the quintessential Trixie makeup because, you know, like if you're able to be a chameleon, be a chameleon. But if you're a comedy queen and you, or you paint a certain way, you know, you do that to the best of your ability. It's like when you wear something that's monochromatic, you make sure that like the materials and, you know, the cut and the style is immaculate because you're only getting like this one thing. So I thought it was really fun and smart.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, I love me some Trixie. So when she, you know, the whole, this is how I roll, I loved it from the jump.
Her puns are unrivaled, I think.
She's that random friend you have that always just has a smart thing to say. So basically oral.
Hi. So, thank you. That's such a delight and a dream for you to say. I know.
Jesus. No, I think some people really like that, and I know other people who absolutely would hate that.
Oh, for
so
sure.
So it's very divisive, but I mean, I know Trixie and I love her, so I'm on board even if I don't think it always lands. I appreciate that she's really trying. And they've done a good job editing her.
Yeah.
Because I feel like let's put it out there now. There are a few queens who it's theirs to lose, and I think she's one of them.
Oh, for sure.
And
for sure.
It's evident in some of the editing that that's the case.
Yes. So. She's definitely, she is more confident and looks more favorable on the show than she did in season 7.
Unquestioned. Yep, totally. And part of it's probably because she has been so successful outside of RuPaul's Drag Race with Katya, with her own solo record, with her live show. I mean, she, World of Wonder is smart about how they use these queens, and this is a strategic thing, but well-deserved and earned.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in next, Oral?
We had Milk giving you denim Pinocchio realness.
Which I
felt was just kind of wooden for me.
Uh-oh.
We're talking about puns.
Oh, yeah.
But no, like, it's just, I got the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't, and that's, like, you can think something works, but you don't find it appealing. And I didn't, because for me, Milk is a lot of things, and I love that sort of variety show you get. I've seen Milk perform, and, you know, either you're completely, you know, bought into the idea and the gimmick, or you're like, okay, well, that's kind of clever. But I it didn't wow me. Like, that and it'll bind to another person, another queen that comes up a little later, where I see it. The aesthetic works, but it's not really entertaining.
Yeah.
I think Milk is the performance art queen, having seen her a few times, at least once at Parliament. Maybe twice?
Yes.
Twice? I don't know. She's got this art school thing that's a little more pop culture-y, a little more zany at times. But yeah, I don't think it always lands.
Mm.
But I don't know that it's supposed to be I don't think she's supposed to be a joke, but she's also sort of mocking in some ways. I don't know. She's confusing, and I can see her not going. She didn't go very far in her season, I believe, right? She, like, middle of the pack.
Yeah.
She was
middle of the pack.
Yeah, I mean, she did better than a lot of queens, but I don't know. For me, I don't necessarily think I need to see Milk perform. I'm good with Milk as an aesthetic, as a picture. Like, I'm like looking at the picture of them in the workroom, like, okay, cool, that's a cute outfit. That's Milk.
It's an all evolution, right, on her previous, you know, stuff.
So. Yeah, and I mean, it's a takeoff of the Pinocchio look, but it also felt like something else, which it just kind of was like, all right. And we'll get to another queen that kind of has a repurposed look coming in for All Stars 2. But
All Stars 3.
Oh, 3. Sorry. Oh, God.
How can you forget Trixie's lyric?
I know.
All I want for Christmas is my All Stars 3.
Yeah. All I want for Christmas is nudes.
Or that.
That was my favorite. But I will just say this. Every time Milk would say, Zaddy's home.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. But apparently it's a Ty Dolla $ign song. And then it became a meme. And I had to look it up on Urban Dictionary, because I am that white sometimes. And apparently it's somebody who's handsome and got swagger and all this stuff, and they're a zaddy. I don't understand it.
It's not daddy, it's
zaddy. Z-A-D-D-Y. So I don't know.
These things confuse me.
It's a very Banji thing.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
But every time I heard her say Zaddy, all I thought was Zaddy Rance.
Dinner from New Orleans.
Which leads us to
Chi-Chi Devane, from the Bayou.
The Bayou Queen is back. Your favorite, one of your girls.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, hey, Oral, it's Chi-Chi Devane. I'm so sorry you couldn't make it. I'm really upset about not seeing her at the meet and greet. Like, I listen to it every once in a while. I'm like, not everybody got this. This is my own personal. It's still on my phone.
But Chi-Chi came in her trash bag couture.
But it looked stunning. Like, visually, I found it arresting. The top hat, while I liked it, I think she should have gone with, like, a more, like, golden era Hollywood veil, because she was giving me, like, you know, Hollywood. She's giving me showgirl.
I'd have been good with, like, a bow or some sort of, like, big thing made out of this, like, the trash bag material.
Yeah.
Because at first, I didn't realize it was trash bags.
Same.
Until somebody online pointed out that I think she went to Australia, and at a meet and greet, fans gave her a bunch of yellow trash bags, and she had posted it on Instagram, and that's what she made this entrance outfit out of.
That's nice.
Yeah, so it was very
DIY, fan supported.
Yeah,
that fits her aesthetic. I like
that. she rocked it. I mean, it may not be everybody's cup of tea, but she can pull it off.
You know, black people can pull off yellow. Like,
yes, very much so.
It's just, it just works so well.
That was the best thing she did all episode, I think.
Oh, no, her makeup, her face, and her face later on was goddamn good.
That queen is unspookable. Like, cannot be caught for her makeup this season.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't always love it in her first go around, but, and we'll get to the main challenge and we'll talk about that, but her face was beat for the gods. Where's my mom?
And then someone who looked like they had just been beaten comes in, Thorgy Thor.
Listen, why? Why'd you do that?
Like, well, no, because once again, I saw the aesthetic. But she, if you want to talk about somebody who looked like they threw in their look together, it's her. Like, I did not care for it at all. I thought it looked really, like, she wasn't even giving me, like, you know, shuffling along Mr. Cellophane. She just gave me this low rank clown that would show up to my nephew's, like, fifth birthday. And I'm like, well, you know, you passed the background record, so I guess I have to pay you. Like, it's drag, and I get comedy drag. Comedy, like comedic queens are notoriously my favorite queens. But I don't find her funny. I don't find her quirky, which isn't to say that she's not a great drag queen, but, like, her aesthetic isn't pleasing to me. And having said that, I don't think this look stands out at all. Like, everybody else, I could get. Milk, I can get. Milk, I appreciate it. I didn't really care for it, but I appreciate it. Thorgy, I didn't appreciate it at all.
I think she definitely doesn't always come across very well, but her look in this case was not her best. I mean, not her best. We saw some amazing looks in her season.
You know what would have made the whole thing work for me? Because it didn't give you a concept. It just gave you tinsel hair, stripes, and it gave you shiny. That was the concept. What I think would have made it work, top hat and cane.
Mm.
Do almost like a Chaplin, a Charlie Chaplin kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
And it would have been good.
You could have had a tin can as a hat. And if she had done a bindle and a tin
hobo
can
drag,
hat. Yes.
Hobo
because
drag.
The bitch looked homeless. The bitch looked homeless.
She lives in Brooklyn.
I got family in Brooklyn. You don't look like that in Brooklyn and be homeless. Even homeless has standards.
Well, she definitely, I love her to death. It was underwhelming. Who else? Who else is up there?
Referenced in the first entrance of the workroom when Trixie came in and said, it's like a Morgan McMichaels meet and greet in here when nobody was in the room. Out walks season two's own Morgan McMichaels.
Barely wearing anything at all.
Who?
That's rude.
Who?
She's the one who sent Sonique home.
Isn't that Sonique's best friend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she sent her home.
I mean, that's cool. That's a good
I'm
story.
I'm sorry, girl.
Two of hearts.
Two hearts that beat as one.
Two of hearts.
I need you.
It's ranked as one of the top lip syncs of the show's history.
That's right.
She's notoriously known for that lip sync and her horrible pink impression. So I mean, really,
no.
That's kind of the big things, and her fighting with LaShawn and or Mystique.
Yeah,
with the whole fix your face. You need to fix your mug. Fix your hair.
And Morgan looked fine. I didn't dislike her.
She looked good. Her makeup and her hair looked fantastic.
It did.
You would see her walking down the street and think, oh, who's that bitch over there?
True.
But it looked like she was wearing a loofah. Like she was wearing a bathing suit in a loofah.
Wait, loofah? Or like, I'm doing hand gestures.
Like a sponge,
like the ones you grow.
I mean, like the fake ones that you buy at the store.
Oh, the puffs. Okay.
Yeah, those little loofah puffs.
Loofah puff.
Like, it looked like she got a really big one and made some armholes in it. She looked cute. It just didn't scream. Yeah.
Because that needs to be your entrance into the workroom sets the tone for, you know, what viewers are going to see you as.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so,
and there's a lot of viewers who don't know who she is, mm-hmm. because a lot of the current generation of Drag Race viewers came in maybe at 4, maybe at 5, definitely at 6. You know, so you only have a couple of years with them versus people who, you know, go back to watching the show. I mean, I didn't watch it in 2010, but once I started watching after All Stars, I think All Stars is my first season.
Oh, see, I was there from the beginning.
Okay. Yes, me too.
You know, Drag Race fans remember Morgan. I want to say I've seen Morgan perform. But that's the thing about Morgan performing. When she's there, she's ever present and you are thoroughly entertained. But as soon as she walks out the room, she kind of
fades.
Yeah, there's no staying power. And that's what her return to drag race for All Stars season 3 is about. It's about, you know, she's a working girl, she's constantly hoofing it. Actually, this season's about staying power. You know, for a lot of people, you know, they come and go. They may be like the flavor of the season. They may be like a fan favorite. Like the next one, Aja, who came in, and I adored her look. Like,
I still don't understand how, like, because we'll get into that fan favorite conversation a little more in a minute. But I didn't see Aja as a fan favorite from season 9. I didn't really have a problem with Aja. Aja had, I think, more of a chip on her shoulder when she walked in and she saw how not prepared she was, or how over prepared she was, like, in her mind of what she thought she had compared to the rest of the season. So I think Aja got a lot of fan support when, from the whole chewing out or aggressively complimenting, I should say. I'm sorry.
Complimenting.
She wasn't reading her.
Is that how that works?
That's what she said. She said, I was aggressively complimenting her.
Oh, my
her.
God.
You're beautiful. You're gorgeous. You look like a model. You look like Linda Evangelista. She could walk out there in a fucking diaper and they would say, oh, Valentina, your smile, it's beautiful.
I don't get the appeal of her at all.
She's a great performer. And I mean, she got to lip sync twice on this first episode, and she brings a certain type of gritty performance.
Yeah, I guess because it's not something I resonate with, it just kind of makes me think, okay, that's just another good performer. But I don't. Her looks are confusing, and I don't love them. Even her like boy look that she does with the interviews, I'm like, what are you?
Aja?
You're I think above the demo for her. Aja's.
Oh, and admittedly, this is me, old man. I represent the octogenarian generation on this show pretty well. So yeah.
I think boy Aja is super cute. I would, you know, I'd totally pick up cigarettes again just to date Aja.
Wow.
as a boy. And I, as we were watching the episode, I look over to Pat. I'm like, it's not that I dislike Aja. It's that none of her drag ever wowed me. And then I saw, and but I'm like, but I like that coat. I don't think, you know, you brought up, I don't think the entire outfit works. But I'm like, yeah, I can see that, you know.
Yeah, because she, I mean, she came out, we'll get back to the look here. Mm. So it was like this floral, it was an all matching outfit. And it was dark bluish teal.
Yeah.
It was a pretty color. I like the colors. But then
it's giving you Xenon girl of the 31st century.
Yes. It was total boy body. And it was this like weird small bikini top with like a high waisted bikini bottom with no padding, no tits, no anything. Oh, who scooted on a Razor scooter and stole Trixie's gag right there, right off the bat. Wheels after wheels this time around.
True, true. And then after that, we have one of your favorites, Brian.
Who's that?
And yours.
Ben de la Creme.
Yes.
From the great state of Washington.
I was so bummed when I went to Seattle that she was not performing in Seattle that weekend, whatever the hell I was there. I really would love to see her again. And it sounds like she's coming to Orlando.
Not sounds like she is. She will be there for Red Ball February 17th is Red Ball. And she's bringing Inferno a Go-Go to the Footlight Theater.
It's not the show I wanted to see. I want to see her Cosmos show.
Well, I think she did that one run.
Well, sad.
Inferno a Go-Go is her go-to.
But that's the one we were going to see in Provincetown, right?
No, Inferno a Go-Go.
No, I meant, yeah.
Inferno a Go-Go we were going to see
We had tickets, and then she canceled mysteriously. And as it turns out, that's when they were filming All-Stars 3.
She was getting her shit together to go be secluded for a couple of weeks.
But Trixie did perform. In fact, I think kind of went back and forth a little bit.
Well, she took like 2 or 3 weeks off and then came back. So, I mean, Trixie also has been working a lot more and I think had her bag of tricks already kind of lined up, where Ben has not been touring and traveling as much,
right?
So to kind of prepare yourself for it, she maybe needed a little bit more time.
The thing that bothers me about the Ben thing, and I love Ben, I'm so happy she's on the show, they were harassing her, kind of reading her for not being around, but what they don't realize is she's been very busy as a director and as a show producer. She doesn't just perform. So even though that doesn't give you that same presence, like out in the world of drag, like she's touring all over the place. She does perform still a lot in other people's productions, like Peaches and
Remember, these are reads. They're not meant to be like, you know, super, super serious. But at the same time, it's that jab for the drag world to be like,
yeah,
oh, well, Ben de la Creme has been unemployed since season 6
You have to be ever present.
I know.
Yeah.
For people who don't, you know, when I look at Benda, like, she's very consistent and she can give you lots of different things because that's like that theater background and you get it. But if she's not like, and she doesn't do in your face, because when you like, for her, it's like,
enough, she might do it in your face.
Yes. Like, you know, she gives you, I'm nervous. Like, I don't know necessarily what I'm doing. And that's cute. That's a cute shtick. But what is drag? But, you know, this confrontation, like it is you confronting what it means to be this, like this image, this like illusion. Right. And you're interacting with the audience and people can do it in different ways. But with her, it's just like, it's like Ben de la Creme, she's like icing. She's super sweet. She's pretty to look at. It's fun to taste, but like, it's one note. Icing doesn't taste like anything. And I don't mean to say that she's flat.
No. If she was just that and there wasn't anything else underneath as far as some of her reads and things, I would agree with you. But I feel like her wit and her comedy complement that super saccharine look and feel and personality.
I
know what you're saying, though. It can be, it's different. It is very different.
I think you'll see a lot more sides and evolution to Ben, because on season 6 it was very much a matter of like, oh, you're hiding behind costumes, we don't know who you are, and she wasn't really portrayed in a very three-dimensional way.
Yeah.
And when you don't tour and perform as your drag persona a ton over the last couple of years, but you're doing these shows and you're working and you're making a name for yourself in other avenues, it's tough for people to really kind of know all the facets. And she's already shown in this first episode that she is not the same Ben de la Creme that came to season 6.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, her comedy like really got me through her season.
Yeah.
Like they showed her Snatch Game, which is to me one of the best Snatch Games, especially as a fan of like Downton Abbey.
Oh yeah.
Seeing like her fully immerse herself as this like meta, you know, Dame Maggie Smith, but also, you know, the Dowager, like it's the Dowager Countess, like it's great. Like I loved it.
Her look was good.
Yeah. I mean, and this is where we were talking about repurposed before. This is a repurposed Miss Congeniality dress.
This is the
reunion dress.
Okay.
It's, you know, and like I saw the look and I knew it, but I didn't, you know, like it was one of those things I didn't quite remember.
Yeah.
And then when they did her, you know, confessional while she was talking during the entrance, and she, you know, she made the comment of it's, you know, she repurposed the dress into this, you know, it was a whole gown and everything, and now it's this cute little short poofy dress. And I just thought the fact that right from the get-go, she's like, you know, I've been wearing it. She's like, it's my repurposed Miss Congeniality dress. She's like, I've been sleeping it every night, just spooning my Miss Congeniality sash and crying into my Overstock gift certificate for the last 4 years. And I was like, oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. I remember when they used to just get an Overstock gift certificate.
Yeah.
That's great.
And
I like that subtle humor too. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing against Vendela, but that if we don't get more, that's all she'll be. It's Marge Simpson repurposing that Chanel dress, staying up in the dead of night. And that's what it gave me.
Yeah.
That's what it gave me.
I have a funny feeling you'll get to see many, many different sides of Ben.
I hope so.
So who else?
As I like to say, the queen of flipping on the stage, flipping off the stage.
Oh, Jesus.
Kennedy Davenport.
Was she like an alien or something for that first look? I'm like, what?
Come through, Whoville.
You know, her look was like fractured disco ball. I like that she had a little disco ball, like a wrecking ball slash like, you know, purse. Like a.
If she had opened it up as a purse, like Coco's Dorito purse, I would have loved it.
Yeah.
If she had opened up that disco ball and pulled a mirror out to look at herself in all the mirrors, like, I think the mirror world would have crashed in upon itself. But I think it would have been funny as hell.
I looked at her like, oh, if I had a family reunion of like the younger generation, all of which in my family on my mother's side are homosexuals or homosexual adjacent, she's the drag queen I would have booked. Also, we would have been eating ribs.
Yeah, seriously.
But I didn't think it was a bad look. I thought
it was different.
It
very
was different.
Even for her, I didn't. I never would have expected that kind of look.
But that is why I think I can give it like a pass, because it was something different. Nobody looked like her. Nobody remotely looked like her. She stood out. You know, did I love everything about it? No. But I thought it was at least interesting to look at.
I didn't hate it, but I think it could have been done better.
It's like she was trying to do her best impression of Trinity Taylor. And she's got that same pedigree of this pageant queen world that, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're both like former Miss Parliament houses. And,
yeah, oh, they're all over. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're Florida pageant.
I feel
face.
Like Kennedy in this season really represents the history of drag, like the things that have kind of come before, whereas a lot of the other queens are more of the future and the potential futures of drag. So that's kind of always interesting to see the different cultures.
Yeah,
and
I'm sorry.
No, just seeing how they play off each other.
She's a classic queen.
Totally.
And I adore that about her. It's why, you know, say what you want about Tyra Sanchez. Tyra could give you classic queen, but she could also give you like the future of drag. It made her versatile. And I think that Kennedy can give you versatility, which is why I'm excited to see what she can do this season. But, you know, anytime she can't, as soon as I saw that box on the stage, later on we'll talk about it, you flip off the stage, you flip off the stage, you flip on the box, you flip off the box.
But speaking of boxes.
And this is one of my favorite looks because I'm a girl who one day will get a Tiffany's box. And when I open it, I would be happy with Shangela. Jesus.
I didn't know that was a Tiffany's box.
It's a Tiffany-esque box.
I didn't know that.
That's, yeah. If you ever see that blue, that's Tiffany blue.
Interesting. All right.
I think that she looked great. I love the like the bold colors. I love that dress on her because you've seen variations of that, but it always looks so crisp, and I think that's what kind of like elevate Shangela, because everyone thinks she's middle of the pack, but you know, she's
well, and I'll say this before you continue on.
Yeah,
it was amazing to see, because obviously as they came out, I mean, they're all stars, they've been on the show before, and Shangela has a season and an episode of being on it before, or actually even two episodes, because the beginning of season four she popped out of a box again. And to look at Shangela then versus Shangela now,
yeah,
you can really tell like this girl has come so far in the time from 2010 mm-hmm. until today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a year ago when they filmed this. You know what I mean, though? From 2010 to 2018, she's done a lot.
And she looks polished like a diamond.
And I'm glad she wasn't wearing yellow.
Yeah.
Because she was the only black queen not wearing yellow.
You know, you can shake it up. You can shake it up.
But it looked pretty. That color on her is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. That hair. I love the bow. Like
the
like
bow
was
nice.
I was talking about with Chi-Chi and a bow. Like, I'd have been happy with that bow on Chi-Chi.
Do you know
not
what,
that color, but you know.
Do you know what they call Shangela? Shangela fans call themselves?
No.
They're the Hala Lunatics. I'm not making this up.
That's almost as bad as curling nuts.
Shh, stop that.
I don't care to know.
You don't.
Exactly.
It'll probably make me sad. It's okay. It'll be a meme someday, hopefully.
And yeah. As our surprise, which I think was one of my like top three entrances, is that the 10th queen, who's a surprise queen, is Bibi Zahara Benet.
Surprising no one.
Mother. Well, some people have their hopes set on Valentina. I mean, I heard all kinds of random theories, but
the big thing at first was that it was Darian Lake as the 10th queen before this whole like surprise 10th queen happened. To try to reignite the Dela Darian feud. Because you know, you look at certain queens and it's like, "Oh, Kennedy and Chi-Chi are on the same season. We're going to have that dance off that everybody would, you know, like would go crazy for in a lip sync." And it's just like there are certain things that you just don't need to manufacture. Mm-hmm. And that Ben Darian feud is just one of those things, because it was horribly forced and felt gross on season 6, and I'm glad it didn't come back for All-Stars 3.
So BB is the winner of season 1, the forgotten or the lost season.
Cameroon!
Famous for that. She is
That's Rue's thing.
Well, right. But yeah. I mean, she's from Cameroon.
She's from Cameroon, yeah. But that was whenever RuPaul always introduces her, it's you're guaranteed to hear Cameroon!
I love it.
We all know. She was giving me like...
You're going to.
Yeah, I said that she was giving me House of M... state dinner realness. And I really
wow.
enjoyed it. Like,
it's a deep cut. I like that.
Her hair, her wig was immaculate. Her entire look from head to toe was just pristine.
She looked great.
And I was floored. Like, I kept looking at her thinking, like, she looks gorgeous. She looks incredibly polished.
She looks like a model.
She did.
She looks like Linda Evangelista. No, she doesn't. Sorry.
It was funny, though. Chris, our bartender on Thursday nights, because Parliament House is the official VH1 RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 3.
Orlando's only official.
Yes, because we are the official. We are the official
one.
Usually
don't do more than one in a city.
Well, well, that's why they say official.
Official.
Official, because we got swag from VH1. We have officially licensed swag, including Yas hats and fans. I wanted a fan, but, you know, whatever. I'll get to it eventually. But I work in the Bear Den at the end of the afterwards, and it's tough to be able to like bounce from one to the other quickly. So we watched in the
Bitch, you had fans and you didn't snatch me one?
Bitch, I didn't snatch myself one.
I mean, well, you know.
We'll see what happens. Maybe I can get us one.
Thank you.
We'll share it. It'll be like say. Sisterhood of the Traveling Yas fan. Yeah, I don't know. But we were sitting in the back watching it, and BB came out, and Chris goes, "She looks like Monica." And he's like, "Remember the boy is mine, Brandy and Monica?
Boy is mine, the boy is mine, the boy is mine, the boy is mine."
But she did, and the one thing you can say about BB, I mean, she may not work a lot in like high profile clubs, but she will never be clocked for bad makeup.
Mm-mm.
Or looking a mess.
No. Oh.
She's regal. And yes. That's be all and end all of it.
And I adore it. And that regality was carried over into the library.
Oh, she regally sashayed into the library.
Mm-hmm.
Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
Exactly.
There
were some highs and there were some lows.
We'll start with the lows.
The whole thing started on a real bad low.
Yeah.
Because Thorgy
is bitter. She's a bitter, yeah, bitter.
That's the thing.
Betty.
She comes off and picks out like these things that aren't relevant and has this bite in her tone.
And the thing is, like, you can do it if it works,
right?
Like Roxy. No, not Roxy. Oh, I forget who said it.
Head of lettuce.
No, it was two Roxy. It was All Stars 2. It was the reading challenge. And because Roxy had lost all that weight,
yeah,
and she was like, "Oh, a diet consisting of nothing but like cigarettes and hatred of Jinx Monsoon does a body good," or whatever. Like,
yeah, that's funny.
And it has a direct correlation to the person that you're talking about,
right? Right? Right?
And it
right.
just, you know,
yeah, Thorgy.
Yeah, she just needs to like let that go and just showcase herself.
Because it diminishes her.
It does. No, yeah. You're right.
But you know what this is? I've seen it in talented people. When you think of yourself as like a talented individual, whether it be like an artist or a musician, you have this like sense of entitlement. And if you don't think other people match that, they're lesser than you. They're not working as hard. They're not as put together. And it comes across as elitist. Whereas, like, you know, BB's whole look makes her elite.
Yeah.
But she doesn't come across as, "I need to tear you down."
No, yeah, definitely.
And especially when the bitch looked like she had been eating, like, brunch behind a Howard Johnson. Like, I don't get it. You're back on All Stars. You've been, you know, working.
Yeah.
Why are you still so upset? Like, why try to tear down Bob, who won? Like, she won.
Yeah.
And she outclassed you at any given chance.
Exactly.
Like, it just makes you look like a sore loser.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I just, no.
So that was the bad start, but it got better.
It did, because Chi-Chi came in.
Well, and it was funny, because there were certain queens that weren't, like, they were okay.
Yeah.
And you could see it in the edit, because it was fairly quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, like, I, you know, I'm going through and doing my due diligence and my preparation for these episodes and these recaps that are backed by popular demand. I noted some of these quips that I think were more of the highlights, and really the only one that popped out for me with Chi-Chi was the whole "big and milky, just like the drink, you give me the shits."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, that was fun, like, and I wanted more, and like they showed two reads that she did. It was kind of like, okay, but it was still, I mean, it was cute. Kennedy, though. Kennedy. I was like, you should be able to read much better than what you're giving us right this second. And maybe that was production. Maybe there were better reads that were left on the cutting room floor or in the extra bonus scenes at VH1.com. But when you come up there and your first thing is, Aja, welcome to the big leagues. We're Charlotte Russe and Forever 21 won't cut it, girl. I'm like, really?
Yeah, like, I mean, you break down the joke, you get it, but it's not funny.
Yeah, it just didn't. And if she were wearing like a Tatiana season 2 outfit, I'd be like, okay, yeah. And not to say that her, you know, Aja's entrance outfit was, you know, like whatever, but it wasn't like your off the rack Charlotte Russe or Forever 21 type of outfit.
I feel like that was another, kind of like you were saying with Thorgy, sort of an elitist sort of thing. I feel like that was sort of a very ageist or elitist, like, honey, we've done our time. We know how to do this and you don't. Like, that's where that came from.
Yeah.
Which also made it seem a little less funny and a little more biting.
Yeah. So. I agree. It just, there's still, think, better ways you could have done that than Kennedy did. You had Milk.
Who?
I thought they were okay.
Milk was funny because, you know, what is a read? You take a flaw and you exploit it. And the one thing about Kennedy Davenport is those contacted eyes.
Like, oh, not even just the contacted eyes.
And just
watch her in a confessional where she's looking at two people at once.
Yeah.
She's got a lazy eye. And she, I mean, does. It is what it is. It's sometimes accentuated by contacts, but there was a drinking game, and that somebody posted on Facebook, and one of the things about like take a shot or no is I think finish your drink was if Kennedy is looking at two people at the same time, and I was like, God damn, I'd be so messed up at the end of that night. So in that whole vein of exploiting a feature or a flaw. Yeah, one of my favorite Milk reads was, Kennedy Davenport, the only queen that doesn't have to turn to look both ways before crossing the street.
I'm sorry. I know it's rude. Like, the thing is, I have a lazy eye. If I, like, focus on something, if I'm looking at you, and then I kind of let my mind wander, you'll see my eye drift. So, like, as a person with a slight lazy eye, I get it. It's rough. You can't help it. But damn, that was funny.
The other one I enjoyed for Milk was Shangela. I always thought her name was Angela, and people were just telling her to shut up. It took me a second, and I was like, oh, I got it. I got it now. I enjoy this. And then Morgan, who's the viper-tongued, tell-it-like-it-is queen, I thought hers were okay, but nothing.
Agreed.
Yeah,
absolutely. I absolutely agree. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't. There's nothing sharp about it.
Yeah. It was what it was. However, Shangela had some fun reads as well.
But Shangela's always been funny.
Yeah. Like, oh, she's constantly, and she does it in a way where she doesn't need to be the center of attention. But she's that friend who will just make a quip, and then you stop and you're like, oh, bitch, you right. So kind of like Oral on those other days.
But you know, it's not a day unless I sharpen my talents. Not a day. But yeah, no, just calling Thorgy out for looking like a unfunny clown.
Yeah, that was it. I love clowns, but I never heard Nunfunny1 until you heard you reading.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, thank God somebody called it out. And then calling out Morgan's chiseled jaw.
That jaw. Sometimes I'm like, you could literally split a coconut on that. I know you could. Trixie
had me gutted on the first read they showed.
I moved on up to the upper room, like, because when she's like, Aja, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, you look like Seal. Like, the problem is, too, is that Aja's makeup has come leaps and bounds. But I don't, that bitch needs a, like, a spade or a trowel, because you got to lay that foundation.
Yeah,
like you can have. Mm.
And she's gotten her skin worked on, yeah. Because yes. the scarring or you know the large pores and all that. Like, mm-hmm. But Shangela is a perfect example of over time and having to have it worked on a few times, because you know that procedure never, it's like you don't just go in once and have your skin, you know, do a chemical peel and the next thing you know you have lush, gorgeous, beautiful, you know, tiny pored skin. Shangela over the years has gotten the work done to improve her skin, and it shows, and her makeup shows. And that's not to say that Aja isn't leaps and bounds ahead of where her makeup was.
Yes.
Just like a year before that, mm-hmm. with season 9.
Agreed.
But I loved, like you had said before, a good read exploits a flaw. And a callback to that. It was like Katya with Roxy Andrews in the bus. You know, I think about you every morning when I pass the bus stop. Like, it just, it was the perfect, perfect combination of taking a memorable moment from their season and a flaw and just hammering it home.
Mm-hmm.
And it had me gutted.
But it shows you how sharp she is.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, I love it. It shows you how sharp she is. And Aja gives me, like, just street and hood.
Yeah.
And so that's what her reads are. But they're savage.
Yes.
They're
oh,
savage.
Yeah.
And they are smart. Because if you... Aja's a smart queen. I like how observant she can be. And, like, doing a quick, like... you know, moving a word here and there to make her name spell Morgan.
I would take the letter A out, replace it with the letter O, because most of us here, I think we'd all want you Morgan. I was like, oh, that's cute. That works. Yeah. That's witty.
Yeah.
You know, and then I don't know why I just enjoyed her telling Trixie that she looks like a Lisa Frank serial killer. It tickled me for some reason. And the fact that Trixie responded with, like, I'll take it. I'm from Wisconsin. It's an aesthetic. Like,
I love that.
And then you had Ben de la Creme, whose reads were the strongest.
Well, and it's funny because I think she had the most screen time for the reads.
Yes.
With the least number of reads.
Yes.
Because they are very well thought out, but they're word crafted. It's like a word problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. Like, it worked out so well. And it's so made up for the comedy show on her season.
Yeah.
Where she was too intellectual. Like, this was the perfect blend of intellectual and shady.
Yeah.
I noted these for us word for word. I had to go back and watch these segments multiple times so that way we would have them word for word, because Dela's, they're not like quick little quips.
No.
Yeah.
So
shall we alternate? Thorgy, I love this full outfit. I usually only get to see it.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And you're handing out balloons from the sewer grate. Which, relevant.
Very. Well, especially when it was recorded.
Mm-hmm. Pointed.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring the audience to the threshold and they take it on home.
Yeah.
And that's really, see, and that's the thing. That's shade.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not just a read. If you can read somebody to filth, you shaded them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's smart. And I thought that's gold. That was my favorite one.
She was red for filth.
So then she did, Shangela, you have come so far. Initially, your makeup was kind of busted and your outfits were a mess and your personality was super grating. But look at how far you've come now. You're much older.
That was... I enjoyed that because you were like, okay, where is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's the journey. You're taking him on a journey and then swerve.
You're much older. Like, that was... I enjoyed that
My
one.
Delivery was not as good as hers.
Oh, it was delightful. It was terminally delightful.
Aww.
And then the one I think I might have peed myself a little bit. Trixie. Now, a lot of people clock your makeup, but I totally get it. You know, you're just painting for the back of the room, which makes sense because that's where your audience collects if you remember to lock the door. That I fucking love that. That's just amazing because I can visualize
people leaving.
People trying to like get out the door and they're like banging on the door and like there's people on the other side just like, we got a lock for you. Like, I love it.
What I love too is Trixie is so receptive to these reads.
Yeah.
And especially, you can tell already she really adores Ben.
Yeah.
Sees, like, I just saw in so many little moments their connection. And I don't know if they've worked, I'm sure they've probably worked together at this point, but like, just. Loved it. Was thrilled.
Yeah, absolutely. Which leads us to our surprise 10th queen, Cameroon herself. Cameroon. Oh god, my voice cracked on that one. Cameroon, Miss Bibi Zahara Benet.
They were quick, but they were biting.
They were, and it reminded me why I like and dislike Bibi, because she has that regal air.
Mm-hmm.
But she also has that regal air. And so like, it's a double-edged sword for me because I get it. I like it. I think we've come so far that when you are, like, when you're season one into season two, being that queen to be like, mother, like, now that there's such a large family, it feels almost weird where, like, you look at yourself as the child versus the rest of the children. But at the same time, she's the fucking OG Drag Race winner.
Yeah,
so,
and it fits.
Exactly. So that's why I say that's so don't send me no hate mail because I love it, but at the same time, it bothers me. But I mean she
her read was on point because the bitch looked homeless. Thor looked homeless.
My favorite though literally was when she was like, I'm not gonna read Morgan McMichael's Life Already Has. Done. Yeah. I was like, and put the glasses down. You just go. That's you've done it. That was short, sweet, and savage as fuck. So it worked.
But you know, the winner who came out on top was Ben De La Creme, which I think was deserved from what we saw.
It was, absolutely. And again, I will go back to the comedy show where they edited that to make it look like she couldn't tell a joke to save her life, and she couldn't read nobody to save her life, and it was kind of nice to see that growth on television, because again, if you don't see her shows and you don't know like her in performances, it really does help to kind of see this on All Stars.
Mm-hmm. Then you know the Rue comes into the workroom. Well, no, Rue's out of there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so she tells them that their main challenge is going to be just like the beginning of All Stars 2, but this is and we're not calling it a talent show; it's a variety show.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because, you know, they expect somebody not to have a talent, but you know, whatever. There wasn't a lot of workroom drama.
No.
Which is kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
But it wasn't filled with PSAs and queer history lessons.
Oh, Jesus. Sasha didn't show up.
Nobody told a sad story in a mirror, so Sasha Velour didn't have to pop up and give him a queer history lesson.
You said that there was no ru-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka.
I don't recall there being any shade sound
so
through this almost. I think through this entire episode,
and there were.
I feel like they've really cut back on that.
And there were a few moments that felt like you could amp that up into shade, but it really they didn't.
And you know what I think it is? I think because these queens know each other, because it's an all-star season, you're going to have less of that like shade sound effect.
Yeah.
Because they're either just being honest or they're like, they know and enjoy each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you're going to have it. But it took me a second because I was like, Yeah, I didn't hear the shade. We'd play the shade sound more in our Drag is the New Spandex episodes than there was like in this entire, they'll probably be in this entire season.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Lord.
But the only kind of point that really got hammered home was when Ben was talking about, because they said, you know, All-Stars rules are in effect, which since Rue didn't elaborate, we all just go, okay, top two, lip sync for your legacy, pick a lipstick, yada, yada, yada. But Ben was asking Morgan how Morgan felt about doing this and like having these rules or like this kind of way to do it. And Morgan was very much about, I'm going to send the bitch home that I think is my biggest competition. And it seemed to rattle people. And I don't get that.
Because there's an understanding of civility.
There is. But at the same time, like, first off, like, I think Shangela was the one in the confessional that they put in later. Like, you know, they showed later on where it was like, you saw how that worked out in All Stars 2. And I think Morgan was right to be like, well, if you are up front right off the bat, then there shouldn't be hard feelings. There shouldn't be a matter of this, but like it's a competition. And if you have the opportunity to knock the person off who you think is strong, obviously they're in the bottom two for a reason. It's not like they didn't, like they were, it'd be one thing if you won and you got the power to send any girl home. Yeah. And that person was maybe the third, the top third person instead of the top, you know, top two. And you were like, I'm going to send that bitch home. But Rue is making these decisions and saying that these are the bottom two. These are the people that, in my estimation and what my producers are feeding into my earpiece, these are the bottom two queens. So why wouldn't you like have that in your mind as a thing?
There's a level of diplomacy that you have to, you play the game, but you don't have to be mean spirit about it. And she came across as a mean girl.
Well, I don't think so. I disagree with that. Literally, Ben asked her a question. She said, I would send my strongest competition home. And honestly, I felt like that was upfront and honest. I would rather know that. It, you know, we'll get to how that worked out for her later on. But I would rather everybody be upfront and be like, okay, well, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to look at it overall. And, you know, if a stronger queen has a bad moment and lands in the bottom two, you know what? I might send her home. I don't think that's a wrong thing to think.
I don't know that there is any wrong thing really in this case, because it is a reality show. It is a competition.
Agreed.
Like
unscripted television.
Unscripted television.
That's what we were. That's in our. If you missed our 14-hour long interview with Gingerman and our All Stars 3 preview, that's what we learned. Is they pushed them to not call it reality television, but unscripted television.
Interesting. But I mean, it,
even though the producers are like, we need you to say it this way.
Yeah.
There's no script. Mm-hmm. Hence unscripted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where you're going to do what you're going to do. Human nature is that. And well, like I said, we'll get to how it worked out for her, but yeah, being honest, admitting it, her personality combined with her approach made her look a little more, again, in contrast to everybody else, the way it was edited, looked a little more, I don't know the right term for this, but just, you know, it had a little more of a bite to it.
Yeah, no.
But I do agree with you that at least she is being honest about her motivation and her perspective, and it's a valid perspective.
And I know these confessionals are not taped. Like, they don't, like, run out of the workroom right quick, tape a confessional, run right back in. But all these confessionals that were taped afterwards and all these queens going, well, we don't have a consensus, we don't whatever. Like, bitch, you are saying the same exact thing that Morgan is saying, but not upfront about it or not putting it out there. And I get you don't need to play all your cards.
Well, there's
and
that
that's
too.
That's the only part that I will agree with, that maybe you don't need to be. But at the same time, she's not hiding anything. She wants to be transparent about what her thought process is. And I appreciate that. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's I know people don't like the formatting or like this whole lip sync for your legacy versus in sending home, whatever. But if I'm going to be on the show and I've seen All Stars 2, because now they've seen it, you know that there's going to be a point where an Alyssa's going to send Ginger home versus Katya, who technically everybody, like, you know, said that week should have been Katya. You're going to have a week where Roxy Andrews lent you this crusty-ass rhinestone top, and you know you're going to save her because she's your friend, not because she lent you a damn tank top. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather just know, hey, like, I'm going to evaluate it. I'm going to look at the critiques, but you ended up in the bottom two for a reason. So therefore, you are fair game to be eliminated. And if I think at the end game is going to be, I think I can win over with Queen A versus Queen B, I'm going to eliminate Queen B.
So we've got through the workroom. We're in the variety show era now, I think. Era of the show.
Yeah. The way this episode is going and the way that episode went, it feels like an era.
A little bit. So the variety show was kind of fun.
It was fun, but you saw people shine where you knew they were going to shine.
Right.
And then you saw people do what you knew they were going to do. But, you know,
did anybody surprise you?
I wasn't surprised.
Well, we'll do a quick run through these. Yeah. Just that way we can kind of say what everybody did. We don't need to spend a lot of time on some of them. Shangela came out. It was an updated version of Working Girl, because I'm like, I know part of this song, but part of it didn't resonate. So she recorded an updated version of Working Girl
and
or added on.
Her dance moves were on point. Like she
shablammed so quickly.
We'll talk about this.
Vanessa Hudgens.
Who is she? Why is she here?
Well, listen.
I asked the same question.
Well, she's from High School Musical. She's a Disney Channel girl. But wait till Nancy Pelosi's up there. Then when Nancy Pelosi is on that judging panel and goes, you shablammed off so quickly.
Yeah.
It'll be more interesting.
BB did the All-Stars remix of like Cameroon.
That was amazing.
That was great.
Seriously.
And I said, is she barefoot? And you're like, yes, I think so. And then I saw why she had to be barefoot. But that once again, it was like Lion King. It was CeCe Peniston doing Finally. It was.
I just love. I love that one of the only cutaway confessionals they did was Trixie going, she was totally Lion King off Broadway. Like, it made me, she looked over and went, and I went, oh, like, but, it was just, it was great.
But she was fantastic. It was a performance that, you know, you've seen BB do stuff like that before, but it's because it's work and she's great. She's great at it.
And
she's
that mix was a million times better. I was looking up on YouTube while I was doing these notes. And I listened to a little bit of the actual version of Cameroon that she released back in, I guess, 2009, 2010.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. But this remix version that they played on the show sounded so much better. Mm-hmm. This Dirty Drums Cameroon mix was fantastic.
And then you had Thorgy.
Who looked, her, this outfit was a ton better than her entrance. That jumpsuit was gorgeous.
And like,
or was
we know
it was feeling good, looking gorgeous.
See, that's the only thing about that whole number that I thought was stupid is her little catchphrase in there.
It didn't.
If she's going to pull a Lindsey Stirling and jump around on stage playing violin, I'm fine. I'm totally fine with that. But that little catchphrase is
But dumb. Was it entertaining?
It was cute. I liked it.
It was nice.
I liked it.
Like, she's an accomplished violinist.
Yeah, well, because then she did that. She thought, looking good, feeling gorgeous, into a one-handed fucking cartwheel while holding the violin in the other hand.
It is impressive.
I was like, okay, bitch, you got that.
It is impressive.
I am not saying it's not impressive. I am asking, is it entertaining? Because I didn't find it entertaining. I thought it was good.
Well, let's talk about this when we get to Trixie.
Well, okay. I'll say this about Thorgy. If you've ever seen her perform live, like a full performance live with the violin, yes. The way this is edited, it was very uneven because they did a longer piece of her, like, just violin, like, you know, classical. And then it was like, she stopped, and it felt like that was the end of it.
Right, right.
And then it was the whole, looking good, feeling gorgeous, cartwheel. And then it was like,
full on.
And that was like for like 10 seconds. And it was like, that didn't feel balanced.
It felt like they, cut it down.
Yeah, it should have, like, that should have been less of like the, just the violin, and more of the like sped up version. Because then I think you would have been, I think it would have been, it would have come across as more entertaining.
Yeah. You have Aja.
So it was an All-Stars mix, or the mix that she did for All-Stars, of a song that's hers that she put out last year called Level Your Pussy Up, which I find hysterical considering the number of text messages that we've exchanged where having to step your pussy up has been involved. Mm-hmm. So for her to do that song made me kind of giggle. But it also features, because you know with these songs, mm-hmm. you know, the DJ is always a featured artist. DJ Accident Report.
Who is that noise?
Who is a member of the Nobodies, which is a group of people in Brooklyn
mm-hmm.
that also features Lady Berica Andrews
uh-huh.
and friend of the show, Ariel Italic.
Hey, oh, Ariel!
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the Nobodies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay.
So yeah, so if you watch their YouTube series where it's Nobody's Watching Wrestling, Ariel and Berica sit on the couch and like recap these things, and then DJ Accident Report is over on the side, and then he has like the little air horn on his phone.
God damn it.
And they dub it over with like a louder air horn, obviously for the show, but he's on the track as well. So I wanted to give a shout out to the Nobodies and to our friend Ariel Italic on that.
Even though I hate that sound every time I hear it. But I think that's the point.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a
It's one of those things where it's either you love it or it drives you up a wall.
Yeah. So like Aja,
or you love it driving up your wall.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Whatever. Aja's, you know, voguing. She's giving you like,
I'm so into voguing right now.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Hudgens.
I love your look on when Oral watched that episode and looked over after she said that. I was living that.
You're like, come on, basic white, straight white girl.
Who brought you? Who brought you? Aja dancing shows you how talented she is, how rooted in like drag she is, how rooted in New York she is.
Absolutely.
Like that was, she gave me pier, but she's like, I'm not just on the pier, I'm on the runway, on the pier. Like, and I just saw like the Paris is Burning, like old empty like Coca-Cola cans, the old like stereo boombox in the background, but it was so refined. And then she got on the box and she death dropped off that box and it literally shut the show down.
Yeah,
this was the Aja that nobody got to see on season 9. So for that alone, it's good to see that she's back on the show to be able, even if she went home in the next episode, she has shown a side of Aja that nobody saw before.
Yeah.
So then he had Kennedy.
Who danced on the stage, flipped on the box, flipped off the box. Like, it was good, but you know.
Like I said, she is talented, and I cannot do any of those moves that she does. But if you've seen a Kennedy Davenport show at least 3 times, you've probably seen them all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, slightly. It's not to say that it is not a talent, that it is not good, but the thing is, when you live in a very drag heavy town and she has performed at an establishment that you work at or you frequent often, you tend to see the same thing all the time.
Yeah. Then you had Ben De La Creme, who did like a burlesque number with
a
tassels.
Comedy burlesque
yeah.
number. It yep. was, and we've seen it before. Actually, the last time we went to Pulse. It was for a Ben performance on a random like
Wednesday night or something.
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday. That's right. And she does this nesting doll of bras routine where the tassels are on the nipples and she pulls it off and there's more tassels on the nipples and she pulls it off and then she's trying to hide them and she goes to spin the ones and she's like, oh, nope, they're both on one side.
Yep.
She takes them off. Where are my tassels? They're on her back. And then let me take my tassels off. And they're these long ass, like, you know, ones. And then she spins them, which, fuck that, because I can barely get anything to, like, go in unison in my life. And
it
she got
talent.
Them.
It
she
takes,
got them tassels yeah. to fucking spin. And then she pulled them off. And she had, like, 10 tassels on each titty. And then they cut the tricks. And she's like, I don't have enough nipples. I want more nipples. They are cutting to Trixie like confessionals way too much.
I want to know, like, percentage-wise how many, because it felt like a disproportion. It was good.
Yeah.
Because they're good. They're good reads. But yeah, Ben's performance was great. I love that she keeps burlesque in her performance and does a lot of stuff with it. But because I had already seen it, I think I was a little like, oh, she's doing that. Okay.
You
cool.
know what's funny? I didn't, because maybe it was the environment and maybe it was from where we were sitting, or not sitting, but standing when we saw her. it didn't feel like the same thing. I'm like, I know I've seen this before.
I may have also watched her YouTube video of it. Either way, I'm not dinging her because other queens did stuff that they've done other places, but I think it was just more of a, oh, what's Ben going to do? Oh, she's doing that.
Okay. But then she pulled, she threw confetti out of her vagina.
Was great. Like, that was a little. Like when you type congratulations on Facebook and it does.
And then the things pop out the sides. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we had Chi Chi, which I was, when she came out, I'm like, well, you know, her hair's a little flat, but she's giving me like, my high school, our colors were green and white. And so, like, and she came out, like, wearing, like, a lot of green. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's going to give me, like, Wiz, cheerleader, high school, yeah. Emerald City. And
the majorette thing with the baton. Yeah.
And she didn't. And then I realized that she wasn't wearing heels. And I'm like, oh, this is not good.
That baton was a waste. Get that she, like, spun it around the back of her head, but, or not spun it, but, like, you know, did like a wave with it across her neck and into the other hand. But like, I was expecting, like, I wanted, that would have been the fucking perfect Julia Sugarbaker like montage to be read over, where she threw, you know, where my sister threw the baton up into the air and it caught fire. And I was waiting for something like that, and it never happened.
It was very talent show for the little girls that are in that circuit. And then they come out and they do the little majorette thing, and you're like, oh, that's
into some awkward cartwheels. Cause like, it felt like she had to like shorten her cartwheel, which made her legs get weird.
Uh-huh.
Like she pulled her legs back, so it wasn't like full extension, because she would have gone off the stage had she done that, mm-hmm. which honestly probably would have saved her performance had she cartwheel off the stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was sad, but her makeup was on point.
It was.
Her face,
it was.
But her face was painted for the gods.
But then you had Morgan McMichaels,
who looked, her outfit was fantastic. Her makeup was fantastic.
I was looking for where she was hiding that chip on her shoulder, but I couldn't find it. So it was like,
underneath.
Kudos.
It was underneath the shoulder pads.
Okay. That's, I see. I was trying to find
like
that's out.
Like Thorgy always wears a big wig to hide
because
her dreads.
Because she has those stupid fucking dreads. Shave your head, bitch. You look ridiculous. But you look crazy. Her dreads are awful. Awful.
I'm not debating that.
Awful.
But just like Thorgy wears those wigs, Morgan just wears those big shoulder pads to hide her chips.
I just no.
But and that wig.
That wig, that oh. Bram Stoker's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
It was fighting her though. It was trying to get away. She kept on going, Why you mad? Why you mad though?
Song. Oh, I couldn't stand it.
That wig couldn't either, and it was trying to get the fuck away.
And she kept looking at the girls.
By whisper. It was just flying away from her head.
It was distracting.
It was not great.
No.
Thank you for telling me. So Trixie comes up and she uses an auto harp. And I couldn't remember. I'm like, it's not a harpsichord.
You grew up with it too, right? In your church?
Yeah. So, they would bring it out every once in a while.
Absolutely. Well, right. Yeah. But I mean, it was a staple instrument. And then I had forgotten it existed until Trixie brought it back.
And I will just say this. I made a whole bunch of notes throughout with all these performances, you know, because I mean, I knew we were going to take 4 hours to get through this hour and a half episode. Mm-hmm. But in all fairness, all I literally wrote for Trixie was auto harp performance of moving parts. Because to me, it was fucking flawless.
It was.
It wasn't necessarily like this big showy performance, but you don't have to.
You don't
need to be, as they say in Top Chef, to prepare simple food is often the hardest. Because you can either fuck it up really badly, or you can't show that restraint.
Yes.
And she did. It was literally less is more.
And it was probably the most impressive performance, other than maybe Thorgy's from a music perspective, because what people don't realize is she's not just playing it live. She was singing live.
And you could tell. You can tell it wasn't a studio recorded track for one reason, and maybe it's because I work with sound.
Her peas were popping.
Every time that pop, I was like,
And she had a harmonizing pedal, which was subtle. In fact, I don't think you noticed it at first either, right?
Well, I heard the harmonies. I wasn't. Okay, I was drinking and I was in a bar, And
that's an understatement.
Not at that point of the night, sir. Madam. Anywho, I didn't notice it the first time around, but then you had mentioned it, and then when I rewatched it, I saw her hit the pedal shortly before the harmony came in.
We've seen her do that live in Provincetown.
And that was part of the reason why I was super excited, because before I knew she was going to perform, I think I knew it was going to be Auto Heart, but I didn't know what she was going to perform. Honestly, I wish she would have done I Know You All Over Again.
Yeah, I mean, it's publicity. Like, I look, it's a publicity stunt, and I appreciated it.
She is the fucking queen of marketing, because what happened on episode on Thursday? What came out Friday? Mm-hmm. The acoustic version of Moving Parts. Yep. So that goes there.
Smart.
And then, she, at the same time when they announced that her second album, One Stone, is going to drop after the finale. Mm. I'm like, you can't. That's the perfect way to do this.
She's doing it right. I will say, and this is not a ding, because again, I loved it. It was so different. And I guess making it at the end sort of made sense, because in terms of energy, in terms of catching, like, there's a certain energy she had that was very quiet and sort of, you know, stirring, but smoldering. I don't know. Like, it was very different from everything else, where it was more high energy. So I could see a different editor and a different take taking that and making it like a joke.
Well, they did in the you know, coming up when they before the commercials.
Yes.
Because they showed her on the auto harp, and then she does that the last ring, and then they cut to the Kennedy confessional going, you can insert crickets here.
Right.
And it was like, okay. Right.
They were trying that, but I was glad that they didn't like edit the actual thing.
For sure. For sure. No. But it gave you that little bit of like, oh, huh? Well, maybe Trixie's, it's going to suck. And honestly, I will fight anybody on that. I think she should have been more than safe. But no matter what,
this competition is hers to lose. I think there's a couple of them this year that will be playing the role of, what's her name? Alaska. In that they are definitely setting them up to dominate. So we'll see. Yeah.
But moving parts was definitely it was fantastic. And if you have a chance to see Trixie's show, and I'm sure she'll do another one this coming summer. She'll become like a Varla Jean Merman, where there's a new show every year, and I am fucking there for it. Take my money right now, because I will buy a ticket. Mm. I'm waiting for them to put iTunes was glitchy, and they couldn't. The moving parts didn't go up on iTunes until today or last night, something like that. I'm waiting for them to put One Stone up for pre-order, because, bitch, I will be clicking that, and I will be waiting the next 7 weeks until it comes out with bated breath, because if you don't have two birds, you definitely need to get it before you get One Stone. I love a theme.
Oh, my God. Speaking of themes, the final was Milk, Touch the Fashion, Change Your Life, as, like, the classic, like, 50s paper doll, like, dress. I really like that concept.
I like the paper doll concept a lot. I didn't love this performance.
I didn't. But for me, I think it shows you like the duality of Milk, where Milk will have a concept and execute it flawlessly, but there's sometimes just something not there. She gives you the artifice, which is great. She, for me, rarely ever fails there completely. But when you need to make that sort of idea flex and bend, it doesn't.
But you know, I don't think it was flawless, because one of my biggest issues
Go ahead.
Was she was wearing a Madonna / Britney esque the head microphone. Not even the outfit, nude. Honestly, most of what she did, I liked. I didn't love the song. I loved the paper doll, like, dresses, all of that. But where you knew queens were lip syncing, and they were lip syncing, and they did their performance, you knew when somebody was playing an instrument live or singing live, and you knew it. She had this microphone on, and she's doing all of this stuff. And there are some queens that I have worked with, and I get it. You get into the whole thing, and you're singing along with it. That's fine for the people in the back of the room, but when you're close enough and you can hear a queen singing and it doesn't quite work, I get that you want your lips to match. I get it. I do. But you have to think of the whole thing. And they had this mic on her that wasn't on because it wasn't clear and it wasn't in the forefront. But you heard her and it sounded god awful with the music.
You know what it is? It's it's of the similar ilk where people see and think one thing, but you hear another. And when people cup the microphone in karaoke, they think they're going to sound amazing. Yeah. I'm like, no, you actually sound bad and I have to turn you down.
Yeah.
Now.
Yep. Oh, and you're lucky. You have speakers that face the stage, not behind them. When people do that with me, where my speakers are behind the singers, it creates a fucking loop. And ends up causing feedback, and I have to be like
feedback.
If only that's what it did, and not the alternative.
Yeah, right. Oh god, that'd be fantastic. Janet Jackson just pops on every time that happened. Yeah, no, I have to tell them to stop. I'm like, pull your hands down, or I pull the microphone way down, because I don't care if you're trying to sound like your favorite rapper. Their setups are much different. Mm-hmm. You are not Jay-Z. You are not Chance the Rapper. You are not. I'm trying to get more relevant than Jay-Z when that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. I'm like, yeah. Welcome 1999 rap in the
it's
way
a
suburban
hard
hood.
Knock life for Pat. It's a hard knock life.
Listen,
for
Volume
Pat.
2 was probably his best album. I followed along with him for a while, and even some of his, I don't know, I haven't listened to 444, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Moving on. So those were our performances. Safe from elimination or from critiques this week were Trixie, BB, Milk, and Kennedy. Yeah. Which I agree with most of that. But I still think that Milk maybe should have been
I was
replaced.
Surprised she was.
Yeah.
Because in my mind,
I think Shangela did better than Milk overall performance-wise.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
I think if you had swapped them out, because yeah, so we'll hit on some of the big critique parts, but if you look at who is in the tops and bottoms, I think like Shangela and Thorgy are the two that you don't quite know which one was which. Like if they were like third or the either top three or the bottom third.
Uh-huh.
And I think that Milk could be subbed out for honestly either of them.
Okay.
I think that, but I think Shangela had a better performance overall.
She did. And you know, the crowd loved her and the judges really liked what she was doing.
Well, and that's the thing. And it's like, I mean, they pretty much all praised her. Michelle clocked the bodysuit and said, you know, and Shangela was fine with, you know, she's like, oh, it's burnt. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, she takes that critique and she's good with it.
Thorgy is, you know, bashful smurf.
Yeah. And that's why I think maybe Thorgy would have been like that third bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They're all bottoms. I've watched way too many Lee Dawson recaps. Every time I hear bottom, I just yell out, they're all bottoms.
You know, nothing terrible. So
no, but okay. Yeah, just they felt that she was a little reserved, and mm-hmm. It was what it was.
Aja got the come up that she deserved, yes. Rightfully, because her performance was great, and I think she did a really great job overall. Ben de la Creme got her accolades and got her roses because
I swear, you know, my favorite though was when Vanessa Hudgens goes, "You're so beautiful," and De La was just like, "I know, right?" like that was the, I don't want to say it was arrogant or cocky, but that was the quick-witted, fun, carefree Ben de la Creme that did not come out in season 6 at all.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm so excited to have her. And there was so much talk that she said she would not do All-Star, she would not go back. And I'm so glad that she did, because seeing this confident Ben de la Creme is a treat.
Mm-hmm. Chi-Chi.
Oh, poor Chi-Chi.
They said her makeup was beautiful, and it was.
It was. But her face
hair,
was great.
Yeah, her hair was flat.
And too much.
Yeah, and her shoes were dancing shoes, like flat dancing shoes. And it just, like they said, she has done acrobatics in heels.
And I love that, because it's All-Stars that they could edit to show you.
Yes.
It's not even just like, I know you can do this. It's like, I know you can do this. Here's a cutback to
season 8.
Here's
a receipt.
They got the receipts. They're showing you it all.
This is what we call a bill of sale.
And Morgan got clocked for just
being a bit of hoe. Because, and that's the thing, is that it's a simple thing about performing. You are with the audience. The audience is where you're directing all of this energy at. And like, you could do as a joke, why you mad? Like, if you walk by and didn't really look at them, but you're singing at the audience and point one, two, three, you don't even have to have lined up. But what she did was take this opportunity to say, I don't know why I don't get treated like the rest of you. And now that I'm saying these things, and it sours her performance. Yeah. She could dance. Obviously,
she's a great performer, but she hindered herself in
she didn't hinder herself. She hamstringed herself.
Well, true.
She hamstringed herself. Speaking of pork,
Vanessa
Hutchins performed against somebody who she barely beat. Pork chop, who is actually a pork chop.
It was close. It was a really close victory.
The funny part is, like, I guess I was hanging out with Chantel Roche, who had gotten to the bar by this point in the show.
Hi, girl.
And we were talking, and I missed what was said. And then I look up, and I'm like, what the fuck is she lip-syncing against? And then all of a sudden I go, oh, my God, a pork chop. And Chantel was like, what? And I'm like, pork chop. And she started, and we had a good chuckle over it. And then when I rewatched with Brian, I actually heard the part where she said that Vanessa was gonna lip sync against pork chop, and then they cut away, and then when they came back, they showed the plate with the pork chop on it, and I was like, oh, this is amazing.
This thing they do in All Stars, because they don't have to deliberate, this is harkening back to what RuPaul used to do. It's zany, dumb humor.
Yeah.
That I always loved about her previous stuff, and I'm glad there's a vehicle for it in this otherwise, overproduced, let's say, semi-serious in some way show.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. That's the best part of the episode, I think.
Absolutely. Okay. That was great.
Now we get to the part that's supposed to be untucked, but it's not actually interesting. And it's just like, stand here and talk and say congratulations. And let's walk over here and have a conversation. And you tell me why you think you should stay and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
It was boring. I hated it. I don't even want to talk about it
anymore.
There
was no drama. There was no Adora crying saying, I don't think I should be here. Although I love that they referenced Michelle said,
you're not going to make someone go home this time.
You're not going to make somebody quit, are you?
I also enjoy that there was no sponsor like Hamburger Mary's.
Hamburger Mary's.
Looming large in the little room.
For All Stars, they don't. That was the Untucked.
Okay.
That was season 8 or season 9's. Because even that, because it.
Where everyone's eating Birds of Paradise.
Well, because they had the Mary statue over, like, when they'd walk in and the Mary statue would be holding the cocktails.
Yep,
and it was like,
I know.
All right, thanks for paying.
Seriously.
The lip sync is Anaconda, where Aja and Ben de la Creme have to lip sync. And I was really proud of Ben.
Yes.
Because Aja's giving you street Nikki.
Yep.
Which was perfect. Like, I've seen girls, I've known friends, I have friends who do that sort of thing. And it's great to see, because you know they're killing it.
Yeah.
You see it now with Cardi B. But sometimes you forget how weird Nikki is. I actually did check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Karaoke last Friday, and I had a friend help me, because I'm not doing the Will I Am parts too. Like, it's just there's no pause, there's no break, and like, those raps are really quick.
Yeah,
but those raps are super weird.
Yeah.
And to see Ben do Anaconda in this kind of like hokey shticky,
oh my god,
sort of,
it's beautiful,
but it's great. Like, I
she
imagine that she was in Nicki Minaj's Onika's Mine. Like,
yeah,
it was really fun.
No, it definitely was. And I mean, they both did a great job, mm-hmm. but...
But I can see why, ta-da, Ben won.
Yes.
And that was really great to see, because it was well-deserved. I think overall, she performed the best in the episode.
Yes. And, well, and took it all. Took the mini challenge, was the top two, took home the $10,000 tip, the whole nine. And as she pointed out, first time ever winning a lip sync.
Yep.
That's funny. I didn't realize that.
Lip sync twice.
Wow.
first time around was after the comedy show, and Rue kept both of them.
Oh, that's right.
So technically not a win, and then went home the second time that she and Dayla lip-synced against each other. So for Ben to come out against somebody who is probably one of the top three performers lip-syncers out there between Kennedy, Chi-Chi, and Aja, it really was kind of a cool thing to see Ben walk away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then pull out a lipstick.
And sent Morgan McCrybaby home.
Oh,
she wasn't too bad.
She, you know what she is? She's the she's the McDLT of Drag Race.
Damn.
Everything's there, but you gotta put it together yourself to enjoy it, and you just can't be bothered.
So Morgan goes to the back, gets a RuPaul statue, starts her, like, does her lipstick message, gets the statue, starts talking, and then is interrupted by a very ominous message. At least, like, last time we kind of had a, there was more of a, like, your time isn't over, or you have, you know, your the second chance is whatever. Like, it made it sound more like you have a chance to come back, where we all know that there's going to be some type of return. But basically, the message just said, I've got your back. And then they cut to Morgan and Chad and Alaska in their Handmaid's Tale robes and habits are up on the stairs by the door that Rue comes in. And then it cuts back. And then it cuts back to Morgan again, where she's like, I don't get it. And they're right, like, their feet behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a twist on what's been going on. And I feel like whenever there is a return episode or whatnot, they're all going to be wearing them robes and them habits, and it's going to be some sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But, you know, that's the end of the episode. Like, next week, we get the RuPaul's Divas, Divas Live.
The VH1 Divas Live. Yeah. Like, resurrect the Divas Live.
Which I'm excited for. And, you know, we don't have to go over who's who, but I will tell you this. I see Stevie. I see Patti LaBelle. And I'm excited, super excited.
Shangela as Mariah in this still, holy shit.
Patty, Chi-Chi as Patty looks on point.
I am excited for Ben as Julie Andrews. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for Trixie as Dolly Parton.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yes.
But I will tell you this, if they don't play this up, like, got to be real, all of these queens need to be sent home ASAP.
I'm super excited about it. I thought Snatch Game was going to come out right away because I thought it was second episode last season, because again,
they
it's a
did
short
it pretty
season.
Early, yeah.
It was really early. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's going to be third episode.
Yeah. But this is going to be better than Snatch Game.
Well, we say that now. Yeah. We've seen you know, we've seen some of these lip sync ensemble challenges.
These cannot fail.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was our first Rue cap.
Four hours.
No, my God.
Seriously?
It has been a pleasure. You know, we'll be back next week, listeners, so stay tuned.
And we do have a couple more things before you close, dear.
We do.
Every Monday, be on the lookout for a new Rue cap. There's some fun fantasy league things going around that aren't necessarily VH1 official.
Ugh.
But they stole your gig.
So, funny story, as we've talked about on the other episodes, if you want to play with just us cool people, you go to dragracebeat.com and you can check out the original RuPaul drag beat. We're not calling it a fantasy league because we're not all sportsy like the VH1 is. That's a little too pick your teams, pick your captains, pick your backing lineup. I don't know the sports stuff.
I'm like, almost none of that is what it is.
I don't know. It's all sports to me.
Starters in your bench.
So dragracebeat.com. Registration is ongoing and open. Anytime you want to jump in and play, you can. I wanted to say congratulations to Tayronde Mr. Bend. He was the winner of week one with a handsome score of 2,300 points. And we have about 35 people currently playing. So there is plenty of room. If you go to dragracebeat.com, you can register. And then sign up. It's a beta test, so you're getting exclusive access to this thing that will hopefully keep going into the future. But yeah, now I want to make sure we, you know, get people interested. If you're not so inclined to do Fantasy League, of course, you can still check it out and just play along at home. But yeah, that's Drag Race Beat, as I've screwed up last week. Thank you, Pat, for fixing my terrible URL ability, even though I registered the damn thing. Drag Race Beat. Not Drag Beat. That's something else. And we're also on flameonshow.com, as I'm sure Oral was about to tell you, because I don't know if we made mention of it. We have lovely new mic or headsets that we're using today, thanks to our Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, and if you go to Patreon and, you know, go to Nerdy Show, you can actually earmark money directly to Flame On, and every little bit helps, because, you know, I kept forgetting my bootleg headsets and I keep getting yelled at. So thank y'all for making this an easier transition, as opposed to what would have happened as I sat down and like, ooh bitch, I forgot. Which is what happened, because I said, ooh bitch, I forgot. And we're on Twitter, Flame On Podcast.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook, Flame On Show. We have our little page up there. We love getting comments.
Yeah.
And the big thing right now, I think we really are trying to push, if you like our podcast, I mean, you're listening, so I think you might at least enjoy it a little bit. Give us a little rating, iTunes.
Give us a star rating.
Write a review.
It really,
I'm you've probably heard this 100 times listening to our podcast. It really does make a difference, and we're seeing some return on investment with some of those numbers with the Nerdy Show right now. So please support us in any way you can. Tell a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Share your flame on love with the ages and the masses on social media, and it really does make a difference.
And if you listen on Podchaser, which is a newer one for me. I'm a big Stitcher fan. But I know that we put a post out a while ago, and we got a bunch of different podcast apps out there. But if you were a Podchaser listener, go over and give us some love over there. Check out some of the other Nerdy Show shows that are there. And like Oral said, patreon.com/nerdyshow and become a supporter and a backer. And we appreciate you for that. Until next Monday.
Later, later.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.